What I want you to be thinking about is, what can I give to Jesus? And here's the thing. You're not going to give him money. You're not going to give him your car. You might give him your car. I don't know. Here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about what in your life is hindering you from serving Christ. What in your life is hindering you from being the person that God has called you to be? What in your life is holding you back? That's what I want you to think about. And then ask yourself this. What am I willing to give to Jesus? If this is in the way of me being the person that God has called me to be, are you willing to give it to Jesus? If you are, here's what I want you to do. And listen, it might be a sin. It might not be a sin. But here's what I want you to do. At the appropriate time, when you take that box, you're going to take it apart, and I want you to write, don't put your name on it. Nobody put your name on it. If you're afraid that your handwriting will be recognized, write with the opposite hand. but I want you to write on that lid what it is that you are willing to give to Jesus. Your gift to him. And I know it sounds crazy that we're going to give a gift of sin to Jesus. We're going to give a gift that really isn't worth getting or having because it's totally gotten in the way and hurt us who we are as a brother or sister in Christ. But I'm telling you, God says that he wants us to lay our sin at the foot of the cross. And so today, that's going to be your gift to Jesus. Today, it won't cost you anything. The price starts getting heavier when you leave here and you got to go, I gave it to him. And did I really give it to him? So I just want you to think about it as we begin to go through the morning service. I'm very excited this morning because we were supposed to have two testimonies. One of them was supposed to be Holden Dotton, but he woke up with the chicken pox. I can't believe you guys laughed out loud. That be sure to let him know that he's 18 and full of chicken pox. Yeah, like bump here and a bump there. Listen though, in all seriousness, it could be worse. It could be me that has the chicken pox. So I'm thankful that it's not. But I also asked David Lamedy if he would come and give his testimony this morning. You know, normally when we do Christmas service, everybody kind of expects to be preaching out of Luke. You know, the birth of Christ. And today, I just wanted to be different. Not to be different, but to really get us in a different mode. To get us thinking differently. We know that, let me ask you this. How many have heard before that Jesus died for your sins? How many have heard that? Amen. How many have heard that you need Jesus to go to heaven? Amen. So, for the majority of you, this isn't, you know, if I went out of Luke, it would be, you guys would go, yeah, we've heard this before. What I'm about to share with you today, you've heard before as well. Maybe not the same context, maybe not all at once. And some of you might even go, well, this isn't about the Christmas. But it is about Christmas because the whole month we have focused on a gift for Jesus. When we started out in December, we looked at a gift for Jesus in the sense that we, people, all human beings were a gift for Jesus from the Father. Now, I don't know. I look at myself and I look out around and I think Jesus got gypped a little bit. Amen? If we're going to be honest, right? I don't know that people were the best gift that somebody could get. but I'm so thankful that the Father thought enough of us to give us to the Son as a gift. And then last week we talked about being that gift? You know, what did it look like being that gift? How could we be a presentable gift to Jesus? And that's what we talked about last week. This week, we're going to wrap it all up, no pun intended. We're going to wrap it all up and make decisions to be the gift. How many of you said, man, I would love to get so-and-so this gift because it's perfect? Right? How many of you have ever done that? Okay, so there's a few. The rest don't want to play along. And so today, though, you're going to be challenged. I'm going to challenge you to give this gift to Jesus. Some of us sit back and think we're not good enough. Man, my life is a wreck. My attitude stinks. We're not good enough. Brother David, if you'll come up here with me. David is going to give his testimony, and I want you to see that he wasn't good enough either. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, before you start, I got to get you a mic. Yeah. And I don't think the stands go that tall, so you may have to hold it. Sorry, brother. You need a stand, I got one for you.
Okay.
I had one for you. You need it? Hold on.
As well, yeah, because you know me, I'm clumsy. I'll drop this.
Yeah, no. There you go. Let's put this in. I'm going to get you hooked up. You know, there's so much going on today, we just didn't think of everything, amen? But we thought of you, brother. How's that? Right there? Is that where you need it?
I don't know. Is it? Does that work?
Okay, hold on here a second. That's too tall.
That'll work right here.
Right there?
I would think, yeah.
All right, well, don't forget to talk in it.
Okay.
David Lamedy.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Dave Lamedy. Okay. I was brought up in a small town in northern New York, along with my brother John. Many of you guys knew John. We were brought up by our mom. Our father was killed in the Korean War. Then our mother died as we were teenagers. Well, I started drinking at about age 16. And I drank for 37 more years. I quickly made a best friend of alcohol. It shared everything I did. It went to weddings with me, went to funerals with me, went to parties, all family gatherings. It turned into celebrating good times, celebrating bad times, sorrow, and times of fellowship. I was married at age 20. I had four children. That marriage ended in divorce 14 years later. I didn't see alcohol at that time as an issue. As time went by, I married again, and we spent the next 16 years together. Bev shared some of the alcohol love with me. She loved it very much as I did. She died 1998, cirrhosis of the liver, alcohol. Yet, I didn't get the message. God was sending me, and I kept on drinking. My drinking by that time had completely consumed my life. I continued to drink about a bottle of scotch, gin, or vodka a day. I carried little bottles with me everywhere I went. They were in my briefcase, they were in my travel bags, they were in my back pocket, they were in my coat pocket. I would be passing out in the front yard to the embarrassment of my family, sleeping outside in the rain, not being able to get into the house. Waking up in the morning, I had cuts on my face as often. Black eyes, ripped clothing. I didn't know what happened the night before. I had no idea. I lost relationships with my brother, my children, my stepchildren. I would drink at night alone until I'd pass out, wishing that I would die. I'd wake a few hours later just to reach for the bottle again to get me started for the next day. I tried several times by saying, I can do this on my own. Only return to that bottle of booze. My stepdaughter Mary, which some of you have met also, was living with me at the time. We were in New Mexico. She told me I needed to do something with my problem, that she would leave and have nothing more to do with me. So I stopped drinking. Well, that was on March 5th, or March 4th, 2000. March 5th, I awoke. I could not move my arms or my legs. My body was shaking uncontrollably. I had what was called the DTs. Mary and her then boyfriend, now husband Dave, took me to the hospital, and I was given a 20% chance of survival. My best friend, alcohol, had put me there. God had slapped me hard that time, very hard, hardest he'd ever slapped me. While in a nursing home in New Mexico, learning how to feed myself and walk again, God sent a messenger. Her name was Paula. She gave me the student Bible. And in it she wrote, David, this book is full of hope, help, joy, peace, and unconditional love, and promises, all of which are yours through God's grace. Jesus died and was resurrected for us. He paid our price. David, come to Jesus. Reach out. He's reaching out to you. He's waiting for you with open arms. Your life doesn't need to be in order, nor do you need to be perfect. Amen. Just come as you are. Accept him as your personal savior in your troubles and lay your troubles at his feet. God is in control and will turn your heartaches into joy. Just come and he will do life-changing events to happen. His time, but not yours. Be patient, trust, obey, and watch your life change. Read, pray, and accept. Much love in Christ, your friend Paula. Well, here was my thought. She is really silly. Only women and children go to church. So she said to me, can I bring my husband by later today? And I said, sure, why not? Well, when he arrived, I saw a tall cowboy, a picture of John Wayne, filling the doorway of the hospital room from top to bottom, cowboy hat right down to his boots. And he believed in Jesus, and he was saved, and he was a real man. My heart was immediately softened, and I accept Jesus Christ that evening as my Savior.
Amen. Amen.
From there, I came back to New York, and I went into a six-month rehab program. I made it because of Jesus. No one else in my class was successful because they tried it man's way, not Jesus's. I never again touched another drink, smoked another cigarette, or was involved with any of the many other vices I had. I made a new best friend in Jesus, who went everywhere with me. Good times, bad times, many of those. Also, always walking by my side, out, always there. My life completely changed. My family and children were so pleased to have Dad back, as they called it. I met Nan. She was saved, and we were married last summer right here. But about 18 months ago, I was able to find a phone number and address for Paula, who I hadn't spoken to since the year 2000. I called and left a message on her telephone to tell her of my walk with Jesus since leaving New Mexico. And she called me back the following morning to tell me that in all the years of witnessing, this was the first time that she heard back from anyone that had been saved. She had her grandchildren, who she is raising, and are not saved, listen to the message. Her 14-year-old granddaughter, who always thought grandma was crazy for believing in God, came and said to her, now I understand why you believe in God, and she was saved, giving her life to Jesus that day.
Amen.
Well, guys, I'll be 14 years old on March 19th, and thanks for listening.
The one of the my favorite parts of his testimony is, women and children go to church, real men don't. And then John Wayne walks through the door, amen? That's really what Christmas is, guys. It's not, as society puts it, and so commercialized. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like Christmas time. I used to like Christmas time. I'm the Grinch, and I'm proud of it. Let's talk about Christmas. Christmas is a time of year where everybody really sits down and thinks about who they are or what they want. Christmas is really a time where we, those that love Jesus, remember what he's done. And those that don't know Jesus actually take the time to go to church and hear something about Jesus. Christmas is a time of giving. And Christmas is a time where everybody is challenged to just rise above the next level. Well, today I'm challenging you to think about who you are in Christ. And you say, well, I'm not a Christian. I don't know who I am in Christ. Matter of fact, I'm nobody in Christ because Jesus isn't my Savior. Then I want you to think about this question as we unfold this. If you are here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, the reality is you're not going to heaven. I know, terrible Christmas story, but you get what I'm saying. You're not going to heaven. And so what I'm going to challenge you to do is look at your life. The first decision you got to make is give your life to Christ. For the rest of you that know Jesus, you've already given your life to Christ, then you got to figure out what's getting in the way between you and him, and then you got to decide whether you want to give that to Jesus Christ. Because that's really what Christmas is all about, the birth of Christ and giving, nothing else. And so this year, when I really looked at Christmas and the service and how are we going to do this, I just wanted to get it down to the basics. I didn't want to complicate it, and I didn't want to go over the top with it. I just wanted to stop and go, okay, listen to me. Jesus is the Savior of the world. This is what the birth that we celebrate, the time of the year that we celebrate his birth. Who are you in Christ? So now let's look at this. We looked at David, or we listened to David's testimony, and he's going to be 14 years old this coming year. God bless you, brother. You look so much older than that, though. well, there are some that lose their hair as a teenager. Who's good enough? What drunk laying in the yard, letting rain fall on him, passed out, clueless of what's going on, waking up with cuts and bruises and black and blue marks? You're not good enough. A drug addict, myself, I'm not good enough. Guess what? Nobody's good enough. That's the beautiful thing about Christmas. Who has ever gotten a chunk of coal under their tree for Christmas? Anybody ever gotten a chunk of coal? See, but all of you deserve that chunk of coal at some point in time. Some of you, chunks of coal, baskets of coal. Well, as we look at the scriptures, who needs a Bible? You didn't bring one. Maybe you want. You got. If you raise your hand, we'll make sure you get one to use during the service. The ushers will come by and give you one. I'm going to have the scripture up on the board. I don't normally do that a whole lot. We got one over here as well. But we're going to be in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to be in verse 25. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 is where we're going to start. We're going to read through to verse 30. And so, if you will, follow along with me. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Here's what he's saying. He's thanking his Father in heaven for Revealing it to the humble. Revealing what? The word truth to the humble, to those who are hurting, to those who are in need, to those who really need the gift of life, which is everybody. But then there's some that are really proud and arrogant, and they think that they're more than what they are, and that would have been the Pharisees. And so when he says that, I thank you, Lord, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, he's talking about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those who were hard-hearted, those who thought that they could control everything. And he's thanking the Father for opening it up to the humble, to the poor, to the babes. That's us. As I looked at this, and let me just assure you, this has nothing to do with the birth of Christ. But this very well may have everything to do with the birth of you. The gift, the ultimate gift that Jesus Christ was talking about was salvation. Look here in verse 26. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me. Now here's... In 2000, it was Christmas of 2005, but we were actually in 2006. So Christmas of 2005, we left Springfield, Missouri. We came out here. We were going to survey the area. So we were out here. It was the end of December. I don't think it was quite New Year's Day. So it was December. It was the end of December, but it was after Christmas, 2005. We had stopped in Elmira, New York, got a hotel room. We were on our way here to see if this was where God really wanted us. And there was a gentleman that God had put in my path about a year, about 8 months prior to us coming out this way. And his name was Luke. And God had brought Luke to my attention several times to call him. And I'm like, okay, I'll call him. I never did. And then we were in Elmira, New York. It was 8 o'clock in the morning. My phone rang. I answered the phone. We were at a hotel, and I answered my cell phone, and it was Luke's boss. And he said, John Westphal. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I'm Luke's boss. And I went, oh, hey, how you doing? Merry Christmas. Tell Luke that as soon as I get back from New York, I will call him. He said, well, that's why I'm calling you, is Luke took his life this morning. And He went to his father's grave and kneeled down at his father's grave, took his father's .44 and put it underneath of his chin and pulled the trigger. For a long time, that really bothered me. Could I have made a difference if I'd have just called him? God had told me, call him. And God really used that incident to teach me several lessons in life, which I don't have time to unfold. But as I think about that, and then I look at this verse, because really, what is so terrible that you have to take your own life? Friday, I got a phone call. I was in my office. I was doing some work, and I got a phone call from somebody here in New York. And they called me up, and they said, Pastor John, I need to talk to you. And I went, sure, what's going on? Normally, I would answer or ignore the call when it comes in as unknown because I just, you know, if I'm studying, I don't have time to deal with people. I don't know who it is. But I happened to answer this one, and he said, I'm sitting here with a .44 stuck in my mouth. And he said, there's no hope. There's no nothing. And I go, well, obviously, there is hope. You called me. You know, obviously you're seeing something or thinking of something, and so taking your life is not the thing to do. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to tell you, you know I love you, but it's the most selfish thing in the world that you could do is to take your own life. And he said, but I'm so sad. I'm just so sad. And he said, I can't get out of it, and I've been fighting for months, and I just can't get out of it. I'm so sad. And I said, you know, Satan, he attacks us. And he wants nothing more but for you to pull that trigger. And so we talked for about 30, 40 minutes on the phone, and he agreed to to, since the gun was illegal, to dismantle it and get rid of it in parts. Just various trash cans throughout his town. And that's what he did, or at least that's what he told me he did, so the threat Friday was over. But I think about this, guys. Man, we live in a time where you can't say Merry Christmas. It's got to be Happy Holidays. If you voice your opinion, you get fired. We live in a heavy, heavy time where we carry so many burdens. But I want you to see here. In 28, look here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. The God of the universe, the creator of you and me, our creator, our sustainer, he says, come to me. Man, we are worthless. If you look in Isaiah, it says we are as filthy rags. But when we come to Jesus and we're washed in his blood, Merry Christmas, because we can go to him. When we're not washed in his blood and we're just low life sinners, you know what? He says, come to me just the way you are. Merry Christmas. I want you. And so when we look at this word that says, come to me, we think of Jesus, we think of who he is, we think of what's going on. I can only imagine the conversation between the Father and the Son. This is a prayer that Jesus is talking to the Father, and then he turns it, because he thanks the Father, but then he turns it and talks to the people. Come to me. Who needs to go to Jesus? He says, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Man, let me tell you something. Christmas time, I had hair until last week. Christmas time will drive you insane. Christmas time is a crazy time of the year. Christmas time, go to the mall. People are so rude and they don't care. Listen, on Black Friday, a lady took three people's lives for an Xbox. Was it three? What? I don't even know. An Xbox. Yeah, everybody knows. Everybody but me. But for an Xbox, took their life over an Xbox. And when they interviewed her, because they found her through she managed to get out of the store with the Xbox game, and they followed her to her car, and the camera caught her license plate, and they were actually able to track her down. And when they interviewed her, and they asked her if she had any remorse, and she said, no, I don't have no remorse. My child deserves that gift, and you can never take it away. You might be able to take me away, but you can never take that gift away. Merry Christmas. I'm telling you, when we look at society and we look at the burden and we look at all the craziness that's going on, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Man, how many desire rest? We are so busy going full throttle, got our eyes so focused on the things of the world that we leave Jesus behind. And he says, you know what? Listen to me. Stop. Stop right where you're at. Now, if you want rest, you come to me. I'm thinking to myself, praise Jesus. I have started resting in Jesus again, because the insanity of the world drives me crazy. And so every now and then I got to stop and just turn the news off, turn everything off, and just rest in Jesus. And you know, since I've been doing that, I've actually been sleeping pretty good. Amen? Man, stop the insanity. And he says, look here, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is in your life that is consuming your life, wearing you out, frustrating you, where you wake up, you got to take aspirin because it gives you a headache. It takes your breath away because the load is so heavy. The anxiousness that happens within you because you're anxious and you don't know what to do with yourself. You don't know where to go. You don't even know how to clear your brain anymore to think because there's so much going on. And he says, stop right there. And you come to me and I'll give you rest. Merry Christmas. I love you. I mean, this is Jesus, the one who made you, This isn't religious rhetoric, because people go, well, how do I know who Jesus is? Like, how do I know he's real? And I answered that question the best way I could. And I said, you know what? I can't tell you that he's real. I can tell you he's real to me. I can tell you through my experiences and what I've seen that Jesus is real. I can explain Jesus, but you're not necessarily going to believe. And here's how you have to believe. You got to taste him for yourself. And man, when you taste Jesus for yourself, amen. There's rest. There's peace. Look what he says in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Listen, this isn't just rest that we're talking about. You know, we can get the physical rest. You get some sleep, you get up, you're still tired, whatever. But he says, listen, rest for your soul, the very core of your being. He says, I'll give you rest for that. No other person can do that for you. Nothing in the world can do that for you, but Jesus can do that for you. When your world is upside down and your Christmas is crazy, he says, I'll give you rest for your soul. Today, I just want to remind you who Jesus is and what he gives to us. Merry Christmas. You know, the birth of Christ, we know Jesus was born in a manger. We've seen that in the skit. But do we really know what he wants to give us? He wants you to have the best Christmas you've ever had in your life. And let me tell you, you won't find it on the shelf anywhere. It's only in Jesus. And so as we look at this, and I thought to myself, look here in verse 30. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we unfold that, we ask ourselves, is it really for me? Can I really have the rest? Can I really have that peace? Can I really have what the preacher talks about? Is it really for me? Well, one of the first clues is in verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I want you to look at Psalm 32:5. It'll be up on the screen. He said, then I acknowledged my sin and you to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. I'm telling you, Jesus wants to give you forgiveness this year for Christmas. The forgiveness that he wants to give you is the forgiveness of your sins, the forgiveness of your transgressions. He doesn't want you to carry around the guilt. He wants to take that away from you as well. He wants to make you innocent. He wants to present you before the Father as a spotless, pure white lamb, child of God. That's what he wants to present you as, not a sinner. He will take away your sin. He will forgive you the guilt of your sin. Hebrews 8:12. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Merry Christmas. I really want you to grab hold of today of what Jesus is trying to do. He is trying to give you peace. He is trying to give you contentment. Paul says, I know what it is to be rich and I know what it is to be poor, but I'm going to tell you, I know what it is to be content no matter what it is. That was Pastor Westfall's paraphrase. Listen, Jesus will give you everything you're looking for if you quit looking on the shelf for it. He'll give it to you, but you got to go to him. You have to repent. Oh, my goodness, here he went. Ruined a great message with repentance. Repent. Man, that's the only way you're going to get what you want from Jesus is to repent. James 4:17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. If you know what's right and you don't do it, that's sin. But Jesus says, listen, if you repent and you come unto me and you ask for forgiveness, here's what I'm going to do. I'll give you rest. I'll take away the craziness. I'll take away this heavy burden that seems to take your breath away at every turn. I'll take away everything that seems to be destroying your life, and I will give you victory. I will give you life, life everlasting. That's what he wants to give us. Merry Christmas. That's what he wants you to have. He wants you to have deliverance. He wants you to have peace. Listen, he says, everybody come to me. If you're heavy, if you're laden, if you're burdened, come to me. That means if you know Jesus as your Savior, but you're being tormented by the world and the things of the world, he says, drop that and come to me and I'll give you rest. If you're of the world, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, he says, come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you that. Everything you're looking for is in me. You just got to come to me. Merry Christmas. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Listen to what the scriptures say. He's calling out to us. He says, I want you to have the best Christmas you've ever had, but you got to do it on my terms. And I'm patient. I'm waiting. I praise Jesus. He's patient. Amen. I praise Jesus that he doesn't look at me and go, you're a low life sinner, and then strike me down, because, you know, he really has the right to do that. But he gives me the gift of life. Merry Christmas to me. Amen. I'm as I unfold this and I look, I really want you to see that Jesus is calling you. And it is all because of Christmas time. It's all because of the birth and the death of Jesus Christ. Without that, guys, we have no hope. Without that, you and I condemned to hell. But because of Jesus and his gift, the gift of life, we have hope. We have hope. We have hope. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Merry Christmas. Listen, how do we get saved? How do we go to heaven? How do we get rest? How do we get peace? How do we get delivered? How do we get that perfect gift that Jesus wants to give us? Confess your sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which makes us presentable before the Father. Amen? I'm telling you, Merry Christmas. This is what Christmas is all about. It's not about the tree. It's not about gifts. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about any of that stuff. It's not about what you get on the shelf. It's not about what you can buy and what you can afford and what you can't afford and what you want. And listen, I'm telling you, Christmas is about that right there. To be cleansed from all unrighteousness. To have the rest that Matthew tells us about. That's Christmas. And we're so consumed and blinded by all the things of the world that we lose sight of what Christmas really is. And I'm telling you, Jesus says, man, I want to give you all things that you might enjoy life. But you got to get rid of the things that destroy your life. And to us, if we're not careful, we don't even recognize poison when we're taking it. Until all of a sudden we're sick and it's taken over. I'm telling you, Jesus says, man, I'm here and I'm patient and I'm long-suffering and I want you to come and I'm going to give you rest for your soul. Not just the old flesh, but for your soul, the very core of your being. And he says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'm telling you, Jesus is ready to give. This is the time of the year he's ready to give. And you know, this is the time of the year where we're ready to receive too, aren't we? I don't know about you, but how many when you go check the mail, you're like, ooh, what's in there today? Right? Who's sending me a card? Who thought of me? Where's the money, as the teenager would say? This is the time to give, and Jesus wants to give. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. When we look at this, when we look at this passage, and God says, listen, I want you to present yourself before God. And it's just a reasonable service. This is for those that are saved. How do we do that? Well, we confess our sins. We come clean before Jesus. You know, every time before I get up and preach, and today is no different, you guys, those of you that know me, man, my lunch is almost eaten up when I come up here to preach. I've already went to the restroom I don't know how many times, and I'm like, Lord, you know what? Forgive me, wash me white as snow, Lord. If there's anything in the way, anything I'm not thinking, anything going on, Lord, forgive me for it. Lord, give me strength, give me words, whatever it is. Because when I come up here, I want to be right with God, and I just want to give him my reasonable service plus. And he says, if you do this, listen, I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you comfort. I'm going to give you everything you need. Luke 5, 31 through 32. Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Merry Christmas. He's calling you. He's calling me to repent. What does that mean? Repent for salvation? That means repent. For those who already know Jesus as their Savior, but you've let this sin infest your life and it's gotten in the way of you serving. And he says, listen, I am calling those that are sick, that need, listen, you need to repent. The healthy do not need a doctor, it's the sick. And guys, we're all sick. Merry Christmas. We need Jesus, man. And he says, I'm going to give you everything you're looking for this year if you just reach out. Acts 3:19. Repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Repent. Repent. As we look at this and we look at what's going on, in the world, we look at Christmas. You know, I say that this is a time of the year where we, Christmas and Easter. Who comes to church during Christmas and Easter? Creasters, yeah. I know nobody in here is a creaster. But if you are, you need Jesus. You go, oh, that's religious rhetoric. Yep, but you still need Jesus. For those that are here that are saved, you need to be right with Jesus. No matter where you're at today, Jesus says, I'm going to give you rest if you'll just come unto me. I'm going to take that tired, wearisome soul, and I'm going to give you rest. And so here's what I want to do. First, I want to give opportunity to those that don't know Jesus as their Savior to this Christmas get new life. I want to give you that opportunity. If you're here today, and I asked you, hey, if you were to die right now, do you know that you know that you would go to heaven when you die? If you were to say, I don't know, well then this is for you. Or if you say, well I'm not sure, this is for you. Or if you say, that's a deep question. This is for you. Or if you say, I think so, this is for you. Or if you say, well, when I was a kid, I remember saying something or another, this is for you. If you go, well, hey, I was baptized as a baby, this is for you. If you're here today and you go, I'm just not sure, then I want you to pray this prayer. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to understand the prayer is not what saves you. It is belief in your heart that saves you. It is believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross. It is believing that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It is believing that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father today. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. It's the heart. The prayer is simply kind of like a guide or a roadmap to take you through the process. If you're here today and you wish to receive Jesus as your Savior, that's what Christmas is all about, salvation, life in Christ. You repeat after me, quietly in your heart, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I know I have missed the mark. I realize that I have made mistakes. I have messed up. I have told lies. I have taken things that aren't mine. I have done things, Lord, that you would not be happy with. I understand that it is those decisions that have made me a sinner. I understand I need to be forgiven of those sins. Jesus, today, right now, the best I know how, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Today, I give you my life. Today, I repent. I surrender. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer today, I want you to know that God promises you life. Life in Jesus Christ, eternal life. Life separated only from hell, not from heaven.